Well, good afternoon and welcome, ladies, to our February monthly prayer call. My name is Shirley Voorhees. I'm the administrative coordinator for Women's Connection, and we're so glad that you've joined us today. We are so blessed to have Cheryl Lee Davis, our Vice President of Women's Connection, to do our devotion today, and she really does not need any introduction. So, you can take it away, Ms. Cheryl.
Okay, thank you, Shirley. Uh-huh. And hello, everyone. Happy February and the love month. And I'm going to spend, if you don't mind, a few minutes talking about that topic. It's maybe appropriate, but also it is one of my favorite topics. So I want to start by reading from 1 Peter 4, just a few verses. I've got quite a few verses I want to read today. Just you can go along with me in your Bible or just listen to this. Peter says, "The end of all things is near. Therefore, be alert and of sober mind so that you may pray." Interesting. That's our precursor to prayer. Okay. Verse 8, "Above all, love each other deeply because love covers over a multitude of sins. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be pleased through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen." And as I was preparing for this time together, that phrase, "above all," really caught my eye. In fact, honestly, that verse, "above all, love each other deeply, because love covers a multitude of sins." And I looked up a few other places in Scripture where we see "above all." 1 Chronicles 16:25. "For great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. He is to be feared above all gods." And Psalm 95:3, "For the Lord is the great God, the great King above all gods." And that many, many, many more times in Scripture you hear that message. And then Proverbs 4:23, "Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it." And John 3:31, "The one who comes from above is above all. The one who is from the earth belongs to the earth and speaks as one from the earth. The one who comes from heaven is above all." And we know that is our Lord and Savior, Jesus. And then James tells us in James 5:12, "Above all, my brothers and sisters, do not swear, not by heaven or by earth or by anything else. All you need to say is a simple yes or no. Otherwise, you will be condemned." So I was intrigued by this and looked more into the two books, the 1st and 2nd Peter, that he wrote, and found some more times that Peter uses this phrase. In 2 Peter 1:20, he says, "Above all, you must understand that no prophecy or scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation of things." I want to read the next verse too. For prophecy never had its origin in the human will. But prophets, though human, spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. And then in another place in 2 Peter 3:3, he says, "Above all, you must understand that in the last days, scoffers will come, scoffing and following after their own evil desires." So I found this really intriguing, this in 1 Peter and in 2 Peter, when Peter was using the word "above all," the three ways he refers to is he calls us to be mindful that we are in the last times. In fact, I love how the message puts it. It says, "Now that things are getting wrapped up," or "now that things are wrapping up," you know. And so we see that in the primary verse that I was using from 1 Peter 4, "The end of all things is near. Therefore," and then it goes on, and it happened again in 2 Peter here. So first of all, he's mentioning that our time is limited, and there's an urgency, I would say. Number two, he calls us to remember that the scripture, the Bible, is not just from human will, but men moved by the Holy Spirit spoke from God. And we all know that Timothy reminds us of that too when he says that all scripture is God-breathed. And then finally, in these above all statements that Peter is making, he tells us to love each other deeply or earnestly. And, you know, this idea, these three things, the word of God and its truth, the reality that we are in the last times, and then thirdly, that love is the big deal. Love is what matters. I think are things that we need to focus on for this devotional and maybe even for this year. 1 Corinthians 13 tells us about love, and it's a really common, you know, passage. You all know it so well. And I've heard people say, well, put your name in where the word love is, and then that's what you're supposed to be. And so I did that. And so as I think about our roles as volunteers with Stonecross, some of you on this call, I know you, you're speakers or various ones are leaders. Some of you are in a governance role, and some of us are leading Bible studies or chairing Women's Connection groups. This is for all of us. Stonecross leaders are patient. Stonecross volunteers are kind. Stonecross leaders do not envy. We do not boast. We are not proud. Stonecross leaders do not dishonor others. We are not self-seeking. We are not easily angered. We don't keep any record of wrong. I better repeat that one. We don't keep any record of wrong. That's my weakness. Sorry. Confession time. That'll come later. Stonecross leaders do not delight in evil, but rejoice with the truth. With God's love in us, Stonecross leaders protect and trust and hope and persevere. And I remember about 7 or 8 years ago, sitting with a staff member here at Stonecross, Dan Gwynn. Many of you might even remember him. He was in the website area. He did stuff with the website. But anyway, we were sitting there talking. Really, I was really complaining about something or someone. And when I was finished, Dan just looked up at me and said, "Cheryl, I like to view people as created in the image of God." Just like, oh, I was stunned, and I was like, oh my goodness. It was like at that moment, love went before his words, and the Lord used his correction as a way to drive me toward not being one who complains, but being somebody who would view others the way God views them. So love shows up in our conversations, doesn't it? Love also shows up when we pray. I was remembering back when I was a sophomore in high school, and my sister Sandy, she had gone to college 8 hours away, and she began to pray fervently for me as I was getting a bit distracted with some of my life choices. And she not only prayed for me, but she kept in touch with me in letters and in phone calls. And those are the days where you had to pay for the phone call. You know, it wasn't like unlimited minutes. And she was a college student, and we didn't have email, so it had to be snail mail. But you know what? This 16-year-old girl needed her sister to do that. I needed her to pray for me and to stay in touch with me and to persevere and show me long-suffering love. And at the end of my sophomore year in high school, my life was transformed. It was a June evening that I went to an altar and I surrendered everything to God. I told him I would give up anything and anyone, and I told him I would go anywhere he called me. And I am forever thankful for the love-filled prayers that my sister prayed for me and not giving up on me. And love also shows up in surrender. Not my will, but yours be done. And these were Jesus' words, and they also must be our words as well. Maybe even now as you're sitting there thinking, maybe the Holy Spirit is prompting you for an area in your life that you need to ask the Lord to help you, that he's asking you to surrender. Let love help you get to that surrender. Love also replaces fear. John 4:18, this is a familiar passage. There is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear, because fear has to do with punishment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. And again, another story. I really felt like the Lord told me to share stories on this devotion with his word. And another story, I went back to when I was 19 years old, and I experienced paralyzing fear. This fear gripped me as I faced fears of losing my salvation, fears of eternity. I had a lot of fear about this murderer who was going up and down California. And if any of you remember that time, that would have been like 1985-ish in there. It was a very scary time because you didn't know where this guy was going to end up. And I was living alone with my mother. And I remember thinking to myself, well, I could kill myself, right? I could kill myself, but if I did, I'd have to face the very fear that I was having, which was eternity. So that was not a solution for me. And honestly, now that I look back on it, I do know the enemy was really taunting me and was trying to take away from me. And what's so interesting about this particular season in my life, it was very pivotal, because this was during a time when I had I was taking an intensive 3-week class at Biola. It was 5 hours a day, but it was 3 weeks long. And the class, Dr. Mike Wilkins, I think he's at Talbot now. God bless him, godly man. And I don't even think he knows the story, but every day we'd go to this class with about 20 other students in the class. And we had scripture memory. We had to memorize every day. We were tested on it. We were going through the proof of the word, you know, the reality of God's word and how we know it's true today. It was very significant. And all the while I was doing that, I was under this, you know, fear thing. And all the while I was being taunted by the enemy. And one night in desperation, I raised my hands up in the air. I was in my bed and I just said, God, you have to take this away. I can't live this way any longer. And miraculously, and I mean that very seriously and sincerely, miraculously, my room filled with the presence of God, supernatural peace. I was like surrounded and enveloped by this complete contentment and peace, and the fear that I had experienced for some time was completely gone. And I experienced firsthand what God meant when he allowed it, inspired in his word, to say, perfect love casts out fear. So when Peter says to us, love one another earnestly, it's calling us to emulate our Savior, Jesus. It's calling us to emulate the one who lived among us and died for our sin and was raised up so that we could be in relationship with God forever. And when we love others and when we show others the power of love, this love that's patient and kind, not keeping records of wrong, love that replaces fear, love that prays and prays some more, that's when we are living out exactly who God has us to be. And at the end of the day, after all is said and done, with our volunteering and our chairing a women's connection group, our facilitating a Bible study, or our speaking and sharing the gospel, or serving as a reservation hostess or our vice presidenting, whatever your role or title, at the end of the day, love is what remains. I think, what will people say, or what do people say, after they encounter a Stonecroft volunteer? What do people say when they encounter you? Do they say, oh, wow, that's Cheryl. She really loves people, or she's really patient, or, oh, wow, I love running into that speaker. She didn't just say it from the front. She meant it. She spent time with me afterward, or, wow, I noticed the love that you know, chair had when she had to deal with a difficult situation. And I just feel like as we enter into this new year, and it happens to be our 80th year, praise the Lord, all glory to Him, of gospel sharing, that my prayer is that God reveals to each one of us ways that we can love stronger, because that is all that will last. And so as we go to prayer, I'm asking the Lord to build within us more love and to love stronger. And let's just pray right now, and then I'll turn it back to Shirley. Father, over and over in my own life, I've seen you bring love into a situation, sitting across the table from someone, having a conversation that's scary or difficult, and yet love comes in the room. Having to make a decision about finances or how to just make a life decision, or how we love our spouse, or how we treat our children, or how we treat our neighbor, Lord. It seems like there's so many opportunities. And Father, we want to be women who are known for our love. And so I pray, God, that as we go to you today and throughout this month, that you would develop in us a stronger love, a more secure love, and a firm knowledge that most of all, you love us. And we gladly take to you now all of our requests in this time of prayer. We just give it to you, Lord, and ask you to be blessed. And we thank you because we know you're going to respond in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you so much for sharing that, Cheryl. I don't know about the rest of you, but every time I hear that love chapter, it's convicting to me.